setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. You were created to fill a unique role in and through your work. That means you are needed. You're incredibly valuable. No matter what somebody has said to you or done to you, I'm telling you, you have incredible value. And when you realize that and believe that, it's not enough just to kind of feel that. That's a wonderful feeling. But then you've got to do something with that. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. This idea of work on purpose is not about us. It's not about the paycheck. It's not about the notoriety, the likes, all the things. It's about impact. It's about contribution. And I don't care who you are. Nobody has to teach you how to ask the question, what should I do with my life? Like, nobody ever trains you to ask that question. You wonder that naturally. And so we address that and answer that question here on the Ken Coleman Show. So no matter who you are, if you have no clue what you want to do, this show is for you. If you have a clue, but you don't know how to get there, this show is for you. If you know what you want to do, you know how to get there, but fear, finances, family, maybe even failures holding you back, this show is for you. We're going to help you move from paycheck to purpose. 844-747-2577 is the toll-free number. It's a caller show. It's all about you. 844-747-2577. Okay, real quick, I want to start today's show with just a thought around one of the greatest books written of all time. Certainly around the issue of meaning and purpose. Viktor Frankl was a Jewish man who was in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany in World War II, and he makes it out. And through his time in the prison camp, he has these thoughts. He begins to say, this is unbelievable. How am I going to survive this? And he comes up with this idea that there's great purpose in my suffering, and if I ever get out of here, I'm going to transfer what I've learned through this unbelievably difficult experience. He writes down thoughts on little scraps of paper, saves them, gets out, and writes the book, In Search of Meaning. It's one of the greatest books written of all time. So I want to talk about this idea of meaning and work. There are two emotions that every human has attached to work. And when I say emotions, I want you to grab what I'm saying. There's why do I work? Why does work matter to me? Where's the meaning in work? Now, on the first level, for everybody, it's just simply about provision. I got to take care of myself. If I'm single, I got to take care of others. If I've got a family. So you take a kid that goes to college and they get out of college and they get their first job. And they're living on their own. Even if they got a roommate, they're paying their own way. There's a tremendous amount of meaning in provision. I'm providing for myself. I'm providing for others. I know I matter. There's meaning. So this is the paycheck. The next emotion tied to meaning with work is contribution. My work is producing a result that matters to me because I see it matters to others. So whether you are a singer-songwriter, a painter, a nurse, a school teacher, a counselor, a carpenter, a plumber, HVAC. Hey, let me tell you something. Your air conditioning goes out in the Southeast in July. Let me tell you, the most important person in your life is the dude who comes out and fixes the HVAC, all right? So, I mean, this idea of, oh, my work doesn't matter. Well, that's garbage. Of course it matters. Like, if my AC goes out today, right now, Joe, I promise you, Stacy Coleman, my wife of 23 years, is calling the HVAC company, and when the dude shows up to fix it, He's way more important to her than I am. I mean, it's just a fact. So I don't care who you are, what you're doing. When we see that our work matters to others, it will matter to us. So the two emotions around work are, I matter because of provision, I matter because of contribution, meaning, so it's paycheck and purpose. You can make the income that you need and desire. You can also make the impact that you desire. If you're doing what you're created to do, I promise you this, you'll get the income and the impact. So I want to make sure you understand that. It's so important to see the emotions around work. So many people walk through life and the only emotion or the only contribution that they're thinking about is provision, providing for themselves and others. What about contribution to the world, to the marketplace? If it's just provision, okay, that's a part of the equation, but it's not enough. You want to provide and you want to contribute. You want to make the income you need and the impact you want. When Viktor Frankl writes the book In Search of Meaning, I mean, this is a guy who's in a Nazi prison camp. He's holding on with everything he's got with the hope that he gets out and then he can contribute to the world. So understand this. There are naturally two emotions around work that we desire for meaning, that give us meaning. One, provision. Two, contribution. From paycheck to purpose. That's why I wrote that new book. It's coming out. We go on pre-sale next Monday. It unpacks the seven stages to allow you to do that. There are seven stages that will take you through the journey to make the income and the impact. Stage one is get clear. You got to know your talent. You got to know your passion. You got to know your mission. You got to know what you do best, what you love to do most, and the results that you most want to produce. It's going to point you to the marketplace where there are a lot of jobs, career paths. Now it's about stage two, get qualified. While I'm getting qualified, I can be in stage three. I can be in stage two and three together. I'm getting qualified and I'm getting connected. That's why I wrote the book, The Proximity Principle. It's all about the art of connection that leads to opportunities. Because of your work in stage three of getting connected, you will get an opportunity to start that stage four. You get started either in that first job out of college or you're transitioning from one career to the next. Or how about moving up the ladder? You're always starting, right? Something as you move into stage five, get promoted. We keep getting promoted, get promoted, get promoted, get promoted. You'll spend most of your time in your professional career in this stage. Eventually get into stage six, get the dream job. Now what? We've been looking up the whole time. Now we're looking out. We're going to expand the vision. And now we're working not just for income at all. It's really about impact. Stage seven, give yourself away. There is purpose in your work. You know it. I know it. Let's help you figure it out. Coming up, we take your calls. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose to love your work because you're good at it. The work itself gives you the juice and it's creating results that matter deeply to you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. It's a toll-free number if you want to jump in. If I can be your counselor, coach, and cheerleader in one call, what are you waiting on? 844-747-2929. 877-285-2577. Chris joins us in Indianapolis, Indiana. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Hi. What a blessing to talk with you.
Well, I'm thrilled. What's going on?
I'm about 48 years old. I'm a paraplegic. I've been in a wheelchair for about 7 years. I'm on disability insurance. I work part-time to supplement my disability insurance payments. However, the work is just work. It's nothing I'm passionate about. It just happens to be flexible and works around my disabilities. Pain is the most limiting factor for me. There's other factors that come with the disability, but pain is my number one most limiting factor. However, I recently discovered something that I might be passionate about, passionate enough to actually just kind of work through the pain to pursue this career.
What is it?
I'm kind of scared. I'm in the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and I got into a drone program and started flying drones through them, and I've met a couple people who make money doing that type of work, and I've really developed an interest in it, and it's something that I'm considering doing.
I love it. I love this. I think there's a tremendous future for drones. I mean, there's just no question about it. So what are you scared of?
Not being able to pay my bills and not being able to work through the pain.
Okay. So
on the job.
All right. So this is great. So what we have to do is when we have fear like this, we got to figure out, is fear telling us the truth and thus protecting us, or is fear lying to us and thus holding us back? All right. So let's just break these two things down. Let's put fear on the witness stand. All right.
All right.
So how much money do you make in your current part-time job?
Well, between my Social Security disability income and my part-time job, I bring home approximately $2,600 a month.
Okay, but that I understand that, but I was asking you the specific question because your first fear is I'm not going to be able to take care of myself. I'm not going to be able to provide for myself. So I want to know, I understand your combined number is $2,600. I want to know just the part-time because that's what we got to replace. So you've got your disability insurance, but you've got your part-time pay. What's the part-time pay? I need to know that number specifically.
That take-home is about $700 a month.
Okay, so am I right? That's the number that we technically need to replace, and then we're not so scared, right?
Well, no, because once I go full-time, I lose my disability completely, so I have to replace that as well.
Okay, I did not realize that was an option. I'm sorry. I was assuming that you can only work part time because of the disability. You're saying because we got to get to this pain thing. Secondly, so let's keep moving forward because the exercise I'm taking you through is the same. Okay, so we would have to replace either $700 if we start doing it part time, which I think is more realistic. That's why I'm going that way. Okay, or if we get a full time drone operating job, it's got to bring in $2,600 a month. All right. So that's what we have to figure out. So we go do our homework and we say, I'm connected to this veterans drone organization, all this kind of stuff. How much does it pay? Do you have an answer to that? Part-time or full-time?
I don't.
Okay. So we got to go get that answer. Fear is never going to be able to be overcome when we don't have information. Okay. So I could tell you right now, there's several adventure sports that I'm probably afraid of right now. Just if you threw something at me, I'm kind of afraid of that. All right. So let's take whitewater rafting. I like the water, but be honest with you, I've had several friends recently post on Instagram and they're whitewater rafting. And there's these pictures, they're in a boat at some ungodly, awful angle. And they're all like in the picture. And I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at it, I'm kind of going, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm the guy that gets thrown out of the boat and both of my legs splinter into a million pieces. You know, like I feel like my head pops like a grape. I'm really scared of whitewater rafting. But I also don't know how safe it actually is. I haven't actually sat down with somebody who's done it. I haven't, you know, gone through the course and watched the video and go, what do I have to do to be safe? That's an example of, as long as I remain in this opinion of fear, but I don't have any facts to validate my opinion, then fear literally holds us back to where we can't move. And that's where you are. So you've got to look into what is an hourly rate or a part-time salary or a full-time salary pay for drone operators. What is that drone operator industry, which is relatively new? What are the possibilities of pay? When you get that answer, Chris, now you can figure out, oh, how does that square up to my $2,600 that I got to have? Make sense?
Right. I do know that it's a very high competition career field right now. And from the analysis that I've done, it kind of feels like full time is pretty much the only way to go.
But you still got to find out how much you can make. You don't know right now. Okay. So you got to get that answer. That's an easy answer for you to get. Go get it. All right. That's going to address the fear of, I don't know if I can provide for myself. Your fear might be telling you the truth. It might be holding you back. Now, the second fear is the pain issue. I'm not a medical doctor. You've got medical doctors. You also have your own experience now being a paraplegic for, you know, almost a decade. You know what your limitations are. I guess what I would try to do if I were you is I'd talk to the doctor. I would also maybe see if you got somebody in your local community, Indianapolis, somebody's got a drone. I would mess around a little bit, say, hey, can I get out and fly this around and just see, where is the pain? And how great is the pain? Talk to a doctor. You know, how could I mitigate the pain? Again, you got to dive into this and see what mitigation opportunities there are for you. Actually fly some drones and see how bad the pain is. I mean, this is all really simple, practical stuff, but that's going to address the fear, because I get it. You don't want to take on something where the pain is so bad you can't stand it. That's going to turn into misery pretty quick. So you've got some legitimate fears here. They may be protecting you. They might be holding you back. Make sense?
Yes.
Anything else on that? Because I think if you figure that out, now we go, oh, okay, I see. And you might be surprised. There might be some part-time options for you where you're a contractor. Who knows? You have to dive in and get completely immersed in all things drone operation in Indianapolis. And once we do that, now we see, oh, okay, I have more options than I originally planned for. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to push you and challenge you, that I'll bet you can find some contract drone operation work that is not full-time, and maybe you ease into it. So you keep the disability insurance for a bit and you ease into it as you begin to build your skill and your experience and relationships. But I'm really, really, I'm proud of you. There's no stopping you. I love that you're involved here. You're a great American, and you inspire me. And Chris, your best days are ahead, my friend. I promise. Chris has got to do the hard work here. He's going to have to do the research. He's going to have to really get into this. For some of you, you're thinking about changing gears in your career, or maybe you're looking to go back full time. Maybe you've been a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you got kicked out of the workforce because of COVID, and you're just terrified of getting out there in the job search. That's why I want you to at least sign up and try ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com, number one job site in the world. It's a free service to you. It doesn't cost you anything. Fill out a profile in minutes. They begin to match you up. And companies that want you, contact you directly. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get unstuck and then get on purpose. I got to mention something really quick. We'll get back to the phones. But I've been railing and railing and railing and going off on how college education is becoming irrelevant in many, many cases. And, you know, I've said this before, higher education is more concerned about their fortune than your future. And some of you are like, ooh, Ken, that's a little rough. Not anti-higher education. I just simply say, if it's not the only way to get where you want to go or the best way, don't do it. It's a complete waste of time. What? You know, 'cause it's all about status. It's been marketed to us that only, you know, successful people go to college. So Wall Street Journal, I think the most reputable newspaper in the world. Wall Street Journal, folks. Headline, Al Lord profited when college tuition rose. He's paying for it. First line of the article, Al Lord. Folks, you can't make this crap up. This is unbelievable. Al Lord, the former chief executive of student loan giant Sallie Mae, has a complaint about higher education. Don't skip over that Al is the former CEO of Sallie Mae. This is so absurd. The irony is so thick, I could cut it with a table knife. I don't know why I'm laughing. Honestly, we should all be crying. Al Lord, the former chief executive of student loan giant Sallie Mae, has a complaint about higher education. The price of college is too blank high. Well, thanks, Al. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al. Welcome to the party, Al. This is the guy who helped jack up the cost of tuition in collusion, and I do mean collusion, with Congress and higher education. It's in the article. He confesses to it all. I don't have time to break it down. He goes, boy, this is a quote from the article. Boy, I sure am glad we save for my grandkids. If the average income is $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, I don't know how you do it. Thanks, Al. By the way, the median household income is $78,000. Direct quote. He said, there was no question in my mind I knew what was going on. Congress was basically taxpayer funding these loans with banks. And as a result, higher education said, we can raise the price because we could just keep giving people money. And thus, you ready for this? College tuition in the 80s rose faster than inflation. 2 times faster than inflation since the 80s. Hey, folks. If college or a higher ed graduate degree is not the only way for you or your kids to get where they want to go, or if it's not the best way, they shouldn't do it, it's time we wake up. It's a scam. There you go. I'll leave that for some of you. I know there's people out there listening right now. You look like you just sucked on a lemon because I just challenged your entire notion, but you've been marketed to. Oh, by the way, they also told you that milk does a body good. Go do your research on that one too. I don't know. I don't know. Just do it yourself. All right. Back to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. Let's go to John in Los Angeles. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Mr. Coleman?
Yes, but don't call me Mr. Ken will do.
Oh, thank you, Ken. I appreciate you having me.
Sure, what's going on?
So I actually called in today. Real quick story. I'm actually a registered nurse. I put in my 2 weeks last week. My last day will be in mid-August. I don't exactly know if I want to go back.
Hey, John. John, let me help you out. Let's fast forward. Sure. You sound like your soul's been sucked out of your body.
Pretty much.
Okay, what's causing a registered nurse to have his soul sucked out of his body? What is it?
Ever since 2007. That's all I wanted to do was become a nurse. I went to the Marine Corps in 2008, got out in 2012, went straight into nursing school, graduated in 2017, and been a nurse for 4 years. I loved nursing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
You didn't. No, don't be sorry, but you didn't answer my question. You just said, I just heard, little blip, I love nursing. You got into this because you love the work of caretaking, caring for others. True or false?
True.
By the way, thank you for your service. You're a great American.
Oh, thank you.
What has changed from 2017 to 2021? Is it safe for me to assume that you charged into nursing coming out of the military and you were fired up to love on people and care for them? Is that true? You started that way?
You got it.
Then what is sucking the soul out of this work that you were fired up to do? Be very specific. What is it? Say it.
The hospital.
Okay. Be more specific. Let's go deeper. The hospital, how? How are they sucking your soul out?
The nurses say what we need, and then we can't get it. And then on top of that, they implement policies without our input or without giving us the education that we need. So I do bone marrow transplants, okay. And then there's different kinds that we do. And then on top of that, now they have implemented on our floor study chemos, yep. And then CAR T-cell therapy.
Okay.
All of which is, it's overworking
yep.
the nurse down yep. to the bone.
Okay, I got bad news and I got good news. Which one do you want to hear first?
Let's go with the bad news.
Okay, the bad news is, this is a leadership problem. This is just poor leadership. Whoever's running the hospital is all about the business. And they only care about profits, not people. Yeah, I said it. Or it's bad leadership in that they've mismanaged the hospital so poorly that they don't have the resources and the funds to properly equip the nurses. Either way, it's really poor leadership. They've allowed a very unhealthy working environment to take place. And it's causing good men and women like you, who are nurses, to question whether or not they want to do this thing that your heart sets you on fire to do. What? So here's the good news. The good news is you aren't burned out. You aren't done with nursing. You haven't lost your passion for caregiving. You just need a different environment. You're doing the right thing, nursing, in the wrong place. This really crappy hospital with crappy leadership. The reason that's good news is I want you walking away from this phone call, and before you lay your head down on the pillow tonight, I want you to come to the crystal clear realization that your heart for serving people is still absolutely there. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Does that sound right, or does it not sound right?
No, that sounds right.
Come on, baby. I can hear it. I can hear the juice starting to fill your heart back up. So here's the
deal. there's a lot of emotion, because before I talked to you, it was, do I really want to go back into this? And when I first called and I talked to the lady, I was like, would it be okay just to take a break?
Yes.
You know, because I've just been doing one thing after another, and I'm afraid if I start back too early.
Yes.
I'm just going to want to leave.
Okay, so listen to me. I'm not talking about timeline. I was just talking about big picture. You got me?
No, yes.
So here's the deal.
But I just didn't want to lose that juice.
No, you're not going to lose the juice. In fact, I think you taking some time off and recharging your batteries is absolutely essential. And I would not go back to that hospital if you can keep from it. So now we're going to look for a better hospital, better culture. Maybe you're working in a different role as a nurse. Maybe in a clinic, more of a private practice as opposed to the big hospital. You know the industry well enough to kind of dig a little bit and look for the right environment. You know what the right environment should look like. That means you'll know it when you see it. That's what you need to do. Take some time. Do not feel any guilt about leaving. Do not go back there. But now we're looking forward. We're looking for a different environment. Pivot. Get healthy, get back to serving and loving on people. Thank you for the call. You're a great American. This is the Ken Coleman Show. This is the show that helps you get unstuck and then get you on purpose. It's the Ken Coleman Show, different kind of talk radio here, talking purpose, not politics. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Danny, who is on the line in Houston, Texas. Danny, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you for having me.
You bet, Danny. What's up?
Hey, so I'll give you some background, and then I'll give you my question. But my wife and I are on baby step 3B.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 35 years old. I have a 3-year-old child. I've been out of school for quite some time now, since I was probably 22 years old, and I'm 35. So I've been out of school for a while now. I'm trying to develop my career with my current employer. And so, you know, I've been talking to my manager and seeing what that looks like, and, you know, really pushing for, like, what's the next step and what do you guys need from me, sort of thing. And so I've gotten some feedback just saying that, and some of the, I'll just read you some of the key words that they put in here in this email. A degree in computer science or an MBA with a focus in technology. Also, they're interested in staff development. Also, data analytics and business intelligence. And so, you know, I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of a little bit concerned about the idea of going back at this point. And especially now, you know, we just bought a house within the last month or so, my wife and I. And so we have this big expense now for the house. And, you know, and then we're moving a little bit further out. So now we're going to be going from, you know, my son's grandparents being kind of the daycare to actual daycare. So that there's the added expense of that. And so I'm just a little bit concerned with the whole thing. I don't want to go back into debt. I'm really concerned about that. And so I don't want the easy path of just apply for student loans like every admission.
I get it. And by the way, you're right. So what we have to do is we go back into this email and we forget the little MBA reference. So let's just assume that the MBA wasn't even mentioned. Okay. So they mentioned computer science. Maybe an MBA with a technology specialty. I think they mentioned that. I just broke my own rule. We mentioned MBA, right? But then they said data analytics, and there was something else in there. But it was a lot of technology stuff. Am I right?
Yes.
And they said if you get more qualified, essentially what they're saying is here are some additional, let's call it certifications, requirements, educational pieces in technology that will set you up for promotion.
Yep.
All right. So what I want you to do is, and I'm not kidding, I want you to talk to Bethel Tech today. Okay. If you go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman, or if you can't remember that, you can just go to betheltech.net.
Okay.
And I want you to call them. All right. I endorse them. Here's why I endorse them. I'd ask them about the data analytics requirements and qualifications, how they can train you there. The computer science degree, let me give you a ballpark idea. In fact, Ryan Collins, their CEO, told me this. The average cost of a computer science degree is $180,000. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Do you know
that's shocking.
Do you know what his program costs?
It's a fraction of that.
They're out in Silicon Valley. Well, you know I endorse them, so you know it's going to be good. If you pay cash, they can discount you somewhere between $1,500 to $2,500 off of $15,000. And it's a nine-month program online. You don't have to move anywhere. So, but now here's what I want you to do, and I'm being true blue. I'd ask them about the data analytics. What do they offer from a training standpoint on data analytics? They can do that. Programmers, all kinds of coding, all that stuff. Cybersecurity. I mean, I know that wasn't mentioned, but my point is they're very vast in their abilities. They're right outside of Silicon Valley, and they actually train you on people skills as well, and they have a great placement program. So here's what's great. As a part of your less than 15, if you cash flow your way through it, they have a job placement program. They may end up placing you somewhere else, or you just come back to your current employer and go, boom, I just did this. And it costs you way less. And it took less than a year. I want you to start by talking to them. And if you want to talk to other organizations like them that are training people in technology for a fraction of time and money, talk to other people too. But I'm endorsing them because I know them. And you tell them that you were on the air with me today and that you're kicking the tires. You need answers. Start there. Do not do the MBA. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us as we help you go from paycheck to purpose. Turns out, it's very possible for you to make the income and the impact that you want in your work and not just go through life trying to make it to Friday evening for happy hour to drink your face off because it was so miserable during the week. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Steve in Rexford, Kansas. Steve, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you giving me some time.
You bet. What's up?
About a year ago, I worked for a very large corporation that went through a company restructure, and I got to say goodbye, you know, along with the severance package. Went through a lot of job application process and everything, and ended up going to work for the competitor. And I work for the competitor now almost 10 months, and now they're going through a restructure, and it's going to be bye-bye again.
What?
Here's the problem. Yeah, I know. Here's the problem. I'm 62 years old, and I found last time that I lost my job in the application process that I've kind of become a collector of Dear John letters, and I think it might have something to do with my age.
Yeah. We've got a good...
I'm looking for...
Yeah. Well, man, I hate this. You know, because I hear 62, I hear 62 years young. I hear 40 plus years of work experience, untold amount of achievements and victories. But to say that somebody doesn't look at you in the interview process and they see a resume only, and they see 62, to say that that doesn't hurt you would be foolhardy. So we got to do everything in our power to take the age out of the equation. Is that why you called me?
Yep. Just looking for some tips there that I could look at to how to do that.
All right. So here's how you do it. I wrote an entire book on this. I'm going to give it to you if you don't have my book, The Proximity Principle, which is all about connections. How can connections turn into opportunities? And for you at 62, connections are everything. Relationships, whether they be close personal relationships or personal acquaintances or even professional acquaintances. The reality is you got to get in the door via a person, not an online application, because you're going to get discriminated against. But if somebody takes your resume in to company XYZ and says, hey, let me tell you about Steve. I've known Steve for 25 years. Used to work with him back at company ABC. Steve's a rock star. He's a part of a big downsizing. He brings a ton of experience, ton of energy. Guy's really talented. I think he's a great fit for this job. That is the kind of scenario that we need. Not, well, I'm going to go online and fill it out, because most hiring managers spend about 7.5 seconds scanning a resume. They say 62 and they're like, oh, geez, this guy.
Right.
This guy wants to leave work at 3 so he can make it for the meeting 3 at the end. You know, they judge you, right?
That's right. Exactly. I know. The ones that I've had the interviews with, I've had no problems once I get in the interview.
Exactly.
You know, I can talk to them, and all of my job losses are easily explained away, and they're believed. I mean, it's not a problem.
So here's the deal. The good news, so on one hand, the bad news is you're 62. The good news is you're 62. You've got a ton of relationships. I mean, if I'm talking to a 22-year-old right now, they're hearing the proximity principle and they're going, well, I mean, I don't know how many people I know, Ken. I start talking to you about how many people you know, and you and I got to have a 3-hour lunch just for you to jot them all down. Am I right, Steve?
You're right. I hear that from my bosses all the time when I work with them, and I like cover a large geographic territory. And they're like, man, you must know like everybody.
You do know everybody. So here's the practical exercise for you today, and then the next day. And the next day, here's what we do. So we start looking at jobs that are attached to companies. And I'm just making this up for example purpose. Let's say you do some research today and you see 10 companies that have job openings that you go, that's a good fit for me. I'm interested in that. I think I'm going to apply. Before we ever apply, we start going, who do I know that works in those companies? We start there. we start looking at close personal connections. That's friends and family. Then we move up a layer where most people actually get their jobs. The referrals are acquaintances. Again, personal acquaintances, professional acquaintances, all those freaking people in your regions that you've had great relationships with and delivered results with for all those years. Then we got social media acquaintances where you may not see them a lot, but you reach out there and you say, hey, folks, this is what I'm looking for. I've identified six companies. I got six positions. Hey, do any of you work there? You're 62. You know freaking everybody. Because the next layer is, if I don't know somebody that works in those companies, do I know somebody that knows somebody over there? That's the next best option. Because you may have a great mutual connection. You may have a really good friend or acquaintance that can go to bat for you and deliver unbelievable, credible reference on you. But they know somebody really well as they know you over at the company. If they call that person up and go, let me tell you about my pal, Steve. And that person goes, hey, that's a thank you. I'll definitely take his resume and I'll hand it to the hiring manager. I'll put it right in front of the HR person directly responsible for it. That's credible. That's the only way you beat the age discrimination. And I'm not saying it's going to work every time, but I'm saying it will work if you stay with it long enough. Hang on the line, Steve. You got this. I'm going to give you a copy, whatever format you want, hard copy, ebook, audiobook. Amanda, let's give him a copy of my number one best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, which is essentially in stage three, Get Connected. It is the action item. It's what you do in stage three, Get Connected. I wrote it for people who know what they want to do, but they're not quite sure how to get there. It's all about connections that turn into opportunities. So, Steve, read it, apply it, do it, and the opportunities will come your way. I promise. I absolutely promise. You know, we get this call all the time. Ken, I don't know enough people. Now, Steve didn't say that. Steve knows a ton of people. Joe, just for fun, Steve's been in the workforce 40-plus years. How many people do you think he knows professionally? Just have a fun guess here. I'm going to play off your number. Don't overthink it.
Well, he said that he knows a lot of people on all these different routes. I'd say he 400 people.
Oh, I think it's more than that. I think he's in the 700, 800, 1,000. I mean, 40 years. Okay, just if you think about, I'm just making a point here. I'm not saying that all of them are going to be relevant connections, but I'm saying let's take Joe's number 400. Let's juice it by 200. Steve knows 600 people. All right, that's a pretty good start. But let's just say, Joe, that each of those 600 people that he knows another 200 people professionally. Those of you at home that could do that in your head, do it. The rest of you, take your shoes off. Use your fingers and your toes. That's a lot of people. The universe of potential is the key word. Connections is way bigger than we think. And I get that it is an intimidating journey to try to go, okay, do I know somebody there? How do I know? But if you run the exercise out and you really begin to say, I want to work over at this company, ABC. So I'm going to sit down and I'm going to figure out if I can discover if there's somebody I actually know over there, acquaintance level, friend level, family, whatever. Okay. If there's nothing there, now we start going back out. We go, okay, if I was going to communicate via phone, text, email, social media, with the rest of my acquaintances, and I would say to them, hey, I'm interested in learning more about company ABC. That's all you have to say. You don't even have to say I want to work for them. But you say, I'm interested in learning a little bit more. Does anybody in this thing, anybody seeing this? You know anybody over there? If you do, would you be willing to connect me? That's as simple as it gets, and it's wildly effective. Hey, before I go, remember this, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.